Any questions or comments? Anything else people are inspired to come up with?
Yes, I have
yeah.
a couple of comments and questions. I find this stuff really exciting, too, and thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
I mean, it really totally rings my bell. I'm not excited and enthusiastic when I hear it. The bonding of science and spirituality and all that, it just really makes me feel really good. Early on, you were talking about the idea of doing yoga practices through the body, perhaps prior to sitting meditations. And you had, I think you had said, sometimes it's believed that if there's a lot of trauma, that it's not always wise to go directly to sitting meditation. And I was really curious about that because there's a book I'm reading that said the same thing too. And
what's the book?
The Heart of Seeking the Heart of Wisdom, I guess.
And do you remember who wrote it?
Joseph, somebody. Was that co-written by somebody? Actually, Jim probably knows.
I think it's one of Cornfield's and Goldstein's books.
Okay.
Yeah, so he kind of mentions that early
yeah.
on, so it kind of really I perked up when I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, I think you may have answered the question, but is that focused on a physical trauma? Or both physical and emotional trauma? I think that you inferred that it would be both physical and emotional trauma that would kind of bring about
right.
that way of
looking. It varies from person to person. I mean, one of the threads for me is that I'm part of a school of meditation and awakening called Ridwan, or the Diamond Approach.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I love about it is it does this beautiful person-to-person inquiry that we kind of learn to really just go into non-judgmental awareness and often an open-ended inquiry is just what's arising in the moment. And one of the things that I noticed in that inquiry is there are times where people would get to certain places in their inquiry, or because we're encouraged to sense into our bodies. And there's one woman that I would do inquiry with, and every time she sensed into her heart, she would actually go into a freeze state, and she would dissociate. So that was kind of a concern to me. So I've seen a number of times in that school where people would focus in, and there was somebody I was doing trauma work with who really wanted to work on something that was happening here in his gut. But when he did I could watch him, he would go in, he would close his eyes and he would go in, and the longer he stayed in, the more painful it got and the more overwhelming it got. But it was really interesting because in mindfulness practice, that's really what he thought he was supposed to do. So it was very hard for me to get him to come out. And one of the safety valves for that kind of thing, if it's happening for somebody who has trauma, is if you go in and one of those states amplifies, or if it gets too much and you notice yourself going into freeze, is the remedy might be going to some other more distant part of the body, which is why the body scan starts with the toes. They're really neutral. And also, if you're discharging the kinds of things that get held in the torso, and it's discharge is a tricky word, but if it resolves out through the limbs, through the arms and the legs. And so opening up the toes is a good way to get things that are like roiling in here to be able to move a little more graciously. But the other one is to open the eyes and use the sense gates to bring us into here and now. Because oftentimes somebody will go in and that will go back into Amy, something packed in the amygdala with a big charge that's coupled with the visceromotor nervous system. So the sympathetic nervous system goes to the guts, as does the freeze system of the parasympathetic. So coming out and using your eyes and ears to go, I'm here, I'm now, and you're orienting not for threat, but you're orienting for safety. I'm in the room with my Sangha. I'm in this room. I'm here. It's now. Is one way to do it. And the thing about the movement is that when we use muscles, we're activating this whole mechanosensory system that also has a calming effect on the amygdala. And the other thing that they've found in research on mindful movement is that when you're doing mindful movement like yoga, it increases serotonin. There's something in the muscles that increase serotonin that's available to the brain. So that's another example of that. So they're finding out many different things. And so there are different sense gates and different aspects of the four foundations of mindfulness that would be applied skillfully depending on what's happening for the person as to where the charge is. You know, so you don't want to go straight there. But as you unpack it and strengthen this prefrontal cortex, then it's easier to go there in a way that in the trauma work is called titration. You know, you do it little by little. Okay, so we got 10 minutes.
Okay, I want to add one other thing to this, though, too, because and this goes back a little bit to some controversy in neuroscience about some of this stuff. When you focus a lot of this stuff, particularly when you're talking about some of the more primitive things, some of the reptilian brain and the limbic system and that type of thing, there's a certain amount of risk of focusing it too much into the brain. There's also a school of this that basically would contend that a lot of the emotional aspects of that you experience are taking place in the body and not in the brain. That the emotional system is not just a set of nerves. It ties into your endocrine system. It ties into things like the release of epinephrine and norepinephrine and all this. And this is all taking place in your body. So when you start reaching back into the emotional structure, the primitive structure, where basically in evolution there wasn't so much brain, there wasn't so much of this, you're reaching down into the body, and that's where this is actually being not just experience, but actually is part of the whole essence of what an emotion is. And this is kind of the reason that when, you know, we talk about having butterflies in the stomach or when you get tense, it's felt in the body. That's also why in the Buddhist things, they don't, when they start talking about compassion, they start talking about love, they start talking about these things, they tend to take it out of the brain and down into the heart, because it's reaching back into this idea that you're not just this little ball up here, but you're all of this, and in fact all of this is connected to all of everything that's out there. And if you start focusing too much that all of this can be solved inside the brain, you start losing that connection to the entirety of the universe. And in Chinese medicine, I mean, you have things like acupuncture and various other things, where, again, the treatment, particularly for some of these things, goes into the body. And so, to some extent, your movement, your body scans, all of that, is to recognize that you're not just here, or even the illusion of you is not just here, but it's spread through the whole thing. So if you've had certain type of traumas, and those traumas are emotional, whether they have a physical cause or they have an emotional cause, that's going to be experienced here. Because when you remember things, and this is true of our visual memory, it's true of lots of things, we don't have different systems for remembering things. What we have is the system we experience with. And so when you remember things, when you see things inside your head, when you start feeling emotions, you're really taking what's stored in your memory, projecting it back into your whole body, back into your endocrine system, back into your visual cortex, so you're re-experiencing at some level those things. So if you start re-experiencing trauma, you're going to be projecting back into your body, back into your muscles, back into that, all of those actual experiences. So you have to deal with them where they are. You have to deal with them in your body as much as you have to deal with it in your head. And that's part of the reason that this type of movement, this type of focus on the body and so forth, is an integral part of the meditation process. Anyway,
What I said didn't imply that I was.
No, I'm just clarifying from my point of view,
right,
the way I see it. I'm not saying anything about
that
anything you said is wrong or implying anything wrong.
Yeah. That whole chemical system is really interesting because we're looking at the hypothalamic, pituitary, adrenal axis and changing the set point on that, because that's also one of the things that particularly happens with early trauma. And it's really just these feedback loops. And William James had this thing about, I'm afraid because I tremble. That in a way, we know we're afraid because of what's happening in the body. And so some of the sensation, and this is one of the things with the trickiness about being mindful, bringing all of the mindfulness to the most highly charged part of the body, is that will sometimes amplify the sense that I'm afraid. And one of the ways to work with that is to find there's always a part of the body that's either less afraid, is feeling less those sensations of fear. And so a skillful use of mindfulness of the body is to find the part of the body where there's the most calm. And sometimes it's like, you know, the tip of the nose, or for me it's the bottoms of my feet. I mean, I've just can almost always find calm there. And the other thing that's quite amazing is, because I'm an acupuncturist, and when I do body scans, I'll be playing with all of the acupuncture points around my ankles, and I've had the experience of going in and just finding, going into like an infinite universe just from going into my ankle. I would just really invite you to explore that mindfulness of the body, and you know, it's just, it's an amazing inner world just as there's an outer world. Did anybody else have any other? Yeah.
I've been going through acupuncture at Five Branches for the last year. And so recently one of the things that, I've always done this meditation where I've gone from the left side of my body through, and when I go from right brain to left, there's a resistance, like a jolt, like I can't get there, like it's like there's a blockage. And so one of the students said, well, you know, you should go from the left side and move this way. So I started doing that, and I was diagnosed with a severe anxiety disorder at age 50. And so my whole life has always been struggling with being anxious about whatever. And since I've started doing that, I find myself kind of hanging out on the left side of my brain, which I almost never did. And there's this calmness that seems, when you were talking about that part of the brain, which just made me feel like, oh, I really like what you're saying.
It's so amazing because in a way these states, although it sounds like, you know, you would have to meditate for 50,000 hours to have them, you know, to get to them, it's actually not true. There are things that we have the inherent capacity to discover. And sometimes it's just that our habits have routed us a different direction. And so one of the things that's been really exciting for me in terms of like what the Buddha created for us is just easier ways to find those inherent capacities that are there. And I know that I've had really happiness when my mind settled, but I haven't focused on it. And one of the things that, like in the book The Buddha's Brain by Rick Hansen, he has this whole practice called installing the good, which is simply when one of those positive states arises, is to spend a little more time with it. Because the more time that we spend with it, the more the neuroplasticity starts to like go, oh, it's like this. And we can do that with positive because the brain is sort of designed on the savanna to scan for the thing that's dangerous. That's kind of the default mode of the brain. So we can take our, you know, intention and really look for things that are more positive. And there's something from the jhanas that I wanted to read because it was so fun. Is the Buddha says, as you leave the hindrances and focus on the rapture and happiness of the calm, concentrated mind, the body becomes suffused by this rapture and happiness. And the instruction is to drench, steep, saturate, and suffuse the body in the rapture and happiness. And the word sukha for happiness is the opposite of dukkha, which is the wheel out of round. Sukha is an axle that fits in its wheel and flows and rolls well. So it's probably time for us to stop. If anybody wants to say anything else, I'm happy to stay after. But I leave you with like the wheel, the grocery cart at the store that goes really well. Dedicate all of this. May all beings shift left.